Question 112. Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? John 10:34-36. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? Here's an occasion where the term Word of God is used in a manner inconsistent with the conventional understanding of the words. As a matter of fact, nowhere does the term appear in Scripture consistent with the conventional usage, because ever since the Reformation, men have incorrectly attached the name and title Word of God to a book that would be more properly referred to as the Scriptures. The term Word of God above does not refer to the Bible, and for future reference, neither does any other. We must therefore attempt to discuss this dialogue in Scripture, settle to whom the appellation rightly belongs. For if we believe that it is a book to which this title should be rightly attached, the message is strained at best and meaningless at worst. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He always has been, according to our record, and always will be, according to the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For centuries past, the Lord has visited man and placed within him an understanding of God's way. This way is foreign, yet familiar. Unknown, yet well-known, an enigmatic paradox that makes sense of what we clearly see and yet do not understand. This understanding was communicated to man by words. Sometimes these words were to a lone man, and sometimes the communication was for all people. The one who heard would then relay the words from God to the people. He would give words that make sense to some, providing comfort, but would soon sound foolish to others and cause rage. Whether they were mystery or medicine, ringing or ridiculous, these words were God's gift, God's plan. They were God's word. When one considers the ministry of the words of God that were given to man, it's hard to find any differences between them and the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's not a big leap to understand why he would be called the Word of God. God chose to take the form, or more perfectly, no form, of words to minister to his people, to communicate to us his way. Ideas we were not capable of formulating were given to us and given authority by virtue of their source alone. With these ideas and their authority, we become changed men, capable of righteous judgment and good deeds, vindicators of evil and pursuers of righteousness. The Word of God has come to us, empowering us, giving light and understanding, affecting judgment, and guiding us in a way that we did not know heretofore. We have been commissioned, therefore, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Psalm 82:3-6. In the above reference from which Jesus quoted, we see that judgment was turned over to the people to bring about God's will in the earth. This particular scripture is rebuking them for not doing what they were commissioned to do. Here Jesus takes the scripture and expands it, for he tells us more than what's written there. He tells us why God said, "Ye are gods." He says that they were considered gods unto whom the word of God came. The word given to us, as far as our God is concerned, makes us gods. The communicative power of God, the transmission of God's way to us, God with us, makes us gods. His truth communicated, his very life given to us, makes us gods. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now, before you go out and begin your own planet or start your own religion, there are some things to consider. That all that we are, that is good and desirable, we were made to be. And although we may be titular gods, in reality, we fall far short of being just decent humans. What needs to be focused upon is the gift. God gave the men of the Old Testament a wonderful gift when he visited them and spoke to them, whether through Moses or the prophets or a jackass. It's a wonderful thing when the Creator of heaven and earth gives a word or two to help us along. He has longed for the days of walking with Adam in the cool of the day ever since that pleasure was deprived him. He sent his word to men to reestablish communications with his man ever since. He sent words to Cain. He sent word by Noah, Abraham, Moses. He put his word in tablets of stone, on scrolls, in the hearts and upon the tongues of his prophets. He sent his word, and by it he showed his way, his truth, and his life. He said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word that proceeds from him is the bread of life. He sent word after word after word. These formless words of God, these verbal pictures of the ideal, finally took on human form. The communicative power of God, his word, took the form of you and me through a young virgin girl named Mary. Words came to her from God, proposing the plan of salvation of all mankind. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Has the word of God come to you? By the question, I do not ask if you have heard God speaking to you, but I ask, has God communicated with you his plan, his way, his Son? Are you empowered with God's understanding of life here on earth? Do you know the way, the truth, and the life? God's gift to men of old was his word. It was ever considered a gift when the Lord spoke to his people. Even in our day, God's gift to us is his word. No, not the book we all hear referred to as the word of God, but the word of God in truth, Jesus Christ. Although the scriptures are a wonderful gift, they cannot claim the glorious title of the word, nor impose themselves into John 1, for they merely record the words that were a shadow, an echo of the word that was in God's mind all along to give us. They are a corruptible inscription of the incorruptible words written in our heart, where resides the author himself. When the author takes residence in a man of faith, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. This flow of knowledge and spirit is the word of God. It is the communication of his grace and power to you, teaching you, guiding you, and enabling you to live righteously, to judge justly, and to understand all things. It's no wonder that he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came. With a wellspring of knowledge beyond your means, understanding beyond your grasp, and mercy beyond your own compassion, you are indeed superhuman. You have stepped onto a rung of the ladder that is, by any other means, unseen and intangible. You have finally been empowered to do God's will, given the ability to please your Creator, and enabled to fulfill the destiny meant for you from the foundation of the world. Not to please yourself as some hedonistic Greco-Roman god of mythology, but as a child of the Most High God, finally apportioned the strength to do good. The Word of God has come to you in the form of Jesus Christ. And he called them gods unto whom the Word of God came. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?